Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you have traveled to be here tonight from a distance or are traveling during Christmas? I can kind of see. Looks like a fair number of us are traveling. I just had a thought occur to me earlier this week. In today's day and age, why do we still bother with traveling? I mean, we could just FaceTime, right? I mean, that would work, right? Or not? The consensus at the earlier service was no, that doesn't work. Of course, there are those folks for whom traveling is impossible due to work, due to health concerns, or merely distance. And so for them, FaceTime is a wonderful tool, or Skype or whatever, the ability to be visually present in a way. But we can't ever kind of take away what it means to be physically present at these celebrations. I mean, even gathering all of us into this sanctuary, squeezing us all in really tightly, right? Of course, there are still a couple spots open in the front pew here. But just getting us all here is quite an accomplishment. And it's wonderful to see people, to meet new friends, to greet old friends. This is what Christmas is all about, this gathering together, this physical presence with one another. I mean, you can't really taste the lefse unless you're there, right? I mean, you can't eat those wonderful Christmas cookies and then put the ones back that you didn't like with only a little bite out of it. You know who you are. And we have to see the presents. We have to be able to touch them and hold them and feel that beautiful Christmas sweater, right, that everyone loves. But it's all of these reasons why we gather together, to see one another. And it might only be this one time a year that we do it, but that's what we're celebrating tonight, this ability to be with each other. This is, of course, what God is doing in Jesus. God comes to us in Christ to be with us. We use the word Emmanuel to describe this presence with us, this God with us. In many ways, this all-powerful God could have done the, you know, celestial version of FaceTime, right? I mean, if God really is all-powerful, why couldn't God just somehow figure a way around it? Why does God have to actually physically show up here on earth? And it's not just for a couple days. I mean, we're talking decades. This Jesus is here with us. This is an important distinction. God chooses to be with us, to become human, to live with us in the same way that we choose to brave the frozen wastelands of the Midwest, right? To go be with our friends and family because it's Christmas. And in reality, sure, we could stay home, but it just wouldn't be the same, right? It just wouldn't be the same unless we were there. And I think that's the same reason for God. It just wouldn't be the same if God hadn't come down to earth to be with us. And so tonight, we celebrate this Emmanuel, this God who chooses to come to us, who crosses boundaries of earth and space and time to be located in a physical human being for years upon years, so that we might know that God loves us beyond all measure. This God overcomes all doubt and fear that we might have. This God ignores our sinfulness, doesn't, I don't think, really care what you have done or left undone. This God simply wants to be with you. This God now is with us always, in the morning, in the evening, in our hearts, in our homes, whether we are out and about or whether we have slept in, this God is there. It's a story of presence, of reuniting. A God who chooses to inhabit our space and our lives forever. A God who is not content to sit on the sidelines and just watch. This is what Emmanuel means. This is what it means to celebrate this Christ child in your lives. And as Christians, we can do, I think, even a little bit more than that. We can celebrate that we live in the thin places sometimes. It's an expression that I've picked up here this last month. The thin places are those places where heaven and earth have gotten really close, and God kind of goes across that boundary. Think about the shepherds, right? Those stinky shepherds living out in the fields, not washing themselves very often, right? Living with the sheep. And yet, who do the angels choose to appear to? They choose to appear to the shepherds. And then they send those shepherds into town to share that good news with Mary. I love that vision, by the way, especially now that I've had a couple children. And, you know, how you're in the hospital after you've given birth. Can you imagine strangers, smelly strangers, coming into your room to visit? My parents came to visit us after both of our children were born, and I know my wife wasn't exactly pleased with it, but there was no stopping them, right? Jim and Judy were coming in. No way they were stopping. And that's the way God is. God doesn't care what objections we might have. God doesn't care how far or distant we might feel. God instead bursts into our lives, just like God burst into our world through Jesus. This baby who's born to the wrong parents in the wrong place at the wrong time and with the wrong people celebrating it. And yet, this is what God does for us. And now we live in these thin places sometimes, these places where we know God is coming across, inhabiting with us here on earth. How might we be present in these thin places? How might we be present in these places where we least expect God to find God, and yet God is there? God coming into our world makes the distance between heaven and earth a little thinner, a little narrower. And we can make the distance between ourselves and others thinner as well. We can bridge the gap that exists between us and others. Because I think this is a really important lesson for us in Christmas. I think in our world, we've kind of sanitized our lives. How many of you have families where one person gets one car and one person gets the other, right? And you better not get in the other person's car or you'll be in trouble, right? Or in our office spaces at work, our cubicles, there are space, right? Even our, if it's just our locker, right? That's mine. Don't you dare go in there. We have these spaces and we claim that they're ours. But how willing are we to go and find others in their spaces? We, I think, sometimes are content to kind of sit tight and wait for others to come to us, but no one ever does. We are instead invited to go out into the world to reach those who are hurting this Christmas, the poor, the sick, the lonely, the ostracized, to find out who those people are and to go into their space with words of good news, of great joy that might bring peace to them. In the same way that God has kind of burst into your lives, God has come and broken into our world, into our sanitized spaces, and has claimed us as his own. We are giving up our need for our own space when we do this and knowing that everything will be okay. How do we figure out how to do this? I think we look to God. This God who has shown up as Jesus. This God who has come among us. This God who we celebrate at Christmas time, because Christmas time is when we kind of live out this uncomfortable space thing, right? I mean, how many times do you sleep in someone else's bed during Christmas time? You have to sleep on a couch, or you sleep in a hotel, or you're driving and you get home and it's 2 a.m. It's just uncomfortable. If God has indeed come among us, then how does that invasion of our space change us? What does that invasion of our space mean to us? And how does God choosing to be with us change who we are? I have a Christmas, an Advent Christmas tradition of watching holiday movies. Now, they're holiday movies to me, they might not be to you. I count Die Hard and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Scrooge. These are my Christmas movies. And I was thinking about them the other day because, of course, they're not really Christmas movies other than they take place at Christmas time. But if you watch them, the main characters are all desperate to spend time with one another. And especially with National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, you've got these families that have invaded these houses, right? And are sleeping in bunk beds, that their grandchildren normally are in, and it's hilarious. But that's what Christmas is about. This God who breaks into our lives. So the point is that we are no longer separated from God. I think too often we feel distant. We feel like God is a stranger. But now we have a God who is with us. And so when you are opening presents tonight or tomorrow or the next day, God is there. When you are driving home tonight, tomorrow, whenever, God is there. When you celebrate New Year's, God will be there as well. And when you are failing at living out your New Year's resolutions, God will be there. When you feel alone, when the next time you feel lonely or abandoned or in need, God will be there. In the midst of all of our times and places, God is present. The Christmas season is about celebrating that presence, that Christ, that Emmanuel, that God with us, and celebrating it with each other. And then also living each day filled with the faith that God is present with us always. Amen.